Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text is the gospel lesson which has been read. And friends, I'm just wondering, you feel a little tired today? A little weary? A little worn out? If that's the case, I got a word for you. Actually, this is a word that all of us can share with each other. And so again, would you humor the little guy up front and just repeat after me and say to your neighbor, neighbor,
neighbor,
if you're going to go down,
go down swinging.
Go down swinging. That is the title for our meditation this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dearly beloved in the Lord, heard a story about a church some time ago. Church put a committee together. That's surprising. Church put a committee together. This time the committee was formed to review their songbook. And interestingly enough, the committee had a conflict because there was a group who wanted to remove from their songbook Onward Christian Soldiers. Who wants to get rid of Onward Christian Soldiers? Everybody likes Onward Christian Soldiers. Little kids across America in church are marching in and out of church singing, Onward Christian Soldiers, marching as to war. See, but that was the problem. This committee wanted to remove that hymn because it was too militaristic. Talked about war, and Christians shouldn't fight. Well, if the committee had a problem with Onward Christian Soldiers, I wonder what they would do with the Bible. What are they going to do when St. Paul says in 2 Timothy, I have fought the good fight? Going to get rid of that? Last week in the epistle lesson, we heard that Paul said, put on the full armor of God, which includes a sword, the sword of the Spirit. Now, I don't know what you put your armor on for, but I do not put on armor to go to tea. And then today, what would this committee do with our Lord's own words? He says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent are trying to take it by force. Listen, I know that you don't want to fight. But the fact is, baptized believer, you are in one. And so don't be surprised when you find yourself in a fight. And I think we do. I think we Christians often are surprised by this reality. I've been a pastor now for about 12 years, and I have had the privilege of working with many dear Christians and talking to them, and these dear Christians will often say something to this effect, Pastor, what is going on in the world today? They see people working against God's word, seemingly unfettered. They see the government enacting laws that are directly opposed to God's goodwill for his people. Abortion, physician-assisted suicide, so-called same-sex marriage. Now, these are not issues where God's word is confusing. And yet the great ones rule, seemingly often unrighteously. What, you know, if that was just it, that would be one thing. Here's the other complaint I hear. Pastor, look at our own church body. Look at the struggle. Look at the infighting. Look at the politics. What's going on? Well, beloved, on this Reformation Sunday, I'd like to remind you that when this little monk named Martin Luther was awakened to the simple, pure, sweet gospel, he found himself in a fight. He was made to realize that we are saved purely as a gift, forgiven by no works of our own. He discovered that a clean conscience is for all people. And this had been confused lately, and so he said, I'm going to tell people. And I'm going to talk to the church and say, hey, look, this is the way it really is. We're free. We're forgiven. Isn't this great? And here's what the church said. Shut up. Martin Luther's probably saying, you know, not quite the response I was looking for. Maybe they didn't understand me. Maybe I didn't communicate it correctly. Guys, we are forgiven as a free gift. Freedom is ours now. And the church and the government said, no, we heard you. Shut up. In fact, take it back. And if you don't, you're toast. Literally. So St. Peter says, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as if something strange were happening. There's a fight. And the fight is outside of us and it's inside of us. Do not be surprised. Do not be surprised when you find yourself in a fight with the devil. Do not be surprised when the world is against you. Do not be surprised when you find yourself in a fight for God's word with a family member, with a friend. And don't be surprised when the one working against you is your own flesh. We're in a fight. And while we're at it, don't be surprised that the church looks weak. I think maybe we Christians, especially here in the United States, are surprised by the fact that the church looks weak and in some ways helpless, because for so long we've enjoyed the respect of the community, influence in the community. But now, in popular culture, often Christianity is the butt of the joke. The influence has been eroded, and you Christians are talked about as if you're backwards, as if you're intolerant, that you don't care about people. The media is very happy to point out all the scandals in the church, all of the problems. People point out our weaknesses. Sometimes it's not fair, and let's be honest, here's the other thing. Sometimes the criticisms of the church actually are fair. Sometimes we are just judgmental. Sometimes we do act in a way that's petty. And the world sees this and they say, I don't want that. And like I said before, doesn't seem like the church itself can even agree with itself. Every month, it seems, a new offshoot, a new denomination. Church looks weak and divided. It looks like we're losing. And if this surprises you, I'd like you to just take a moment right now and think about the man that you follow. Think about Jesus, born of Mary. He was popular for a while, but then he started teaching some things that became increasingly unpopular. And he found that he had actually made for himself enemies, and powerful enemies. Do not forget that it was actually the greatest religion of the world and the greatest government of the world that actually put Jesus to death. They successfully captured him, made false accusations, shamed him, and killed him on the cross. By all earthly observations, Jesus had failed. His followers didn't even stand up for him. He was all alone. This is the person that you follow. This is the man who you say is your God. This is the one you put your trust in. So if the one you follow looks weak in the world, don't be surprised, church, if you look weak. Were you coming to church for a pep talk today? Because I feel like this is not going well. But you know, there is this. There is the fact that God still gets his way and he wins. There is the fact that God wins despite our weaknesses. And actually, there is this mysterious, wonderful reality. God can even win with our weaknesses, because that's what the cross shows. Jesus, who knew the shame of the cross, is now the one who has been glorified. The weakness and the loss of the cross is actually the very power of God for salvation. The foolishness of the cross turns out to be wiser than any human wisdom. God wins. And he wins through weakness. So often we spend our time avoiding weakness, avoiding conflict and struggle. And I just wonder, maybe if we're trying to avoid that weakness, we're actually avoiding the win. Do you remember that story about old St. Paul? Remember when he had a thorn in the flesh? Remember hearing about this? He calls it a messenger of Satan to torment him. 3 times. He asked God to remove this thorn, and God said, I hear what you're saying, but listen, I'm not taking it away. Because my grace is all you need. It's sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. If we avoid the struggle, then we're actually avoiding the way in which God would make us strong. If we avoid the weakness, maybe we're avoiding the way in which God wins. Listen again. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and yet the kingdom of heaven stands in victory. So friends, do not give up the fight. That's not a word from me, that's a word from St. Paul. Galatians 6:9, Paul says, "Do not grow weary in doing good, because at the right time, we are going to reap a harvest if we do not give up." Don't give up. A couple weeks ago, I went to go see my grandmother. She's in her 90s. She is dealing with dementia. She lives in a place for those who suffer from memory loss. She doesn't really remember me. When I go talk to her, she's confused about why she's there. She feels sort of lost. Well, last time I went to visit her, as I was approaching her, I heard her singing, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Now, I never heard my grandma sing a day in her life. And yet, there she was, as her memories, her life, in essence, in a way, had been taken from her, singing God's praise. Beloved, you are going to go down. No one's getting out of this alive. And yet, if you're going to go down swinging. Which means when you fight, you don't fight the way the world fights. You fight differently. Here's our battle plan. When you sin, repent. Get up and move on. When someone hurts you, go ahead and turn to them the other cheek. When someone curses you, go ahead and bless them. When you see a need in the world, don't wait for somebody else. Go ahead and help them out. When they're working on your last nerve, that's actually your cue to sacrifice. Because here's the thing, you can't make them understand, you can't make them change, but you can make for yourself a way of love. You can sacrifice yourself. You can serve them anyway. You can pick up your cross. While you're breathing, you should be praying. And when you lose, sing a song of praise. But do not give up the fight. Maybe that's why we're called together. So that we're not alone, but that we can remind each other, not judge each other, not say, "Man, you really screwed that one up again." Let's encourage one another. Let's remind each other, "Hey, I know this is hard. I know you're in a fight. Don't give up, and I'm going to hang out with you." Whatever the case, do not give up. You're going to suffer violence. You're going to go down swinging. So that's the news for us today. Here we are, little church in South Central Nebraska, not particularly influential in the world, but here we are. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Can I tell you what not to do? Here's what the church does not need. The church does not need people who are looking to be comfortable in the world. The church does not need people who are trying to get along with the world. And the church does not need people who are complaining about the world. You know what the church needs? The church needs people who say, "What am I going to do? What's my part?" The church needs people who are in God's word daily. The church needs people of prayer. The church needs people who, in the midst of problems, hold to the promise. And would you do me a favor now and please open up your hymnals to page 656 that you so presciently marked before the sermon began. Hymn 656, verse 4. Because you know what else the church needs? The church needs people who, in all circumstances, are ready to sing, even if it's off key. Here we go. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.